Om Parasaya Pradipoditam Prakavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kritikam Puramamina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrita Varshinim Prakavatim Ashadashadjayinim Ambedtvamanusantadami Bhagavad-gītē bhagavad-vaiṣṭhīṁ. Chapter 8, verse
16. Abrahma-bhuvana-lokaḥ Abrahma-bhuvana-lokaḥ Puna-avartin-urjuna Punar-avartin-urjuna Mamupet-yata-kaunteya Mamupet-yata-kaunteya Punar-janmana-vidyate Punar-janmana-vidyate Abrahmanat-lokaḥ Punar avartinaha arjuna mam upetya tukanteya punar janma navidyate. He's really starting to talk now about the transmigration of the jiva versus the jnani, and also the worlds, the cyclical nature of the creation, and all of these things that you don't usually see all in one place. It's kind of nice to see this. So he goes, Brahmana-bhuvanat-lokaḥ. All of the worlds, lokas. When we say loka, we mean a sphere of experience, like this bhu-loka, this waking state that we experience, this earth plane, so to speak, is one of the lokas. There are many, many different lokas, ending with the satya-loka, the brahma-loka, which is the highest loka. So in the whole manifest creation, the manifest creation can be divided into spheres or into lokas where there are living beings, and you can transmigrate into this loka or that loka based upon your karmas. And this bhu-loka is the middle loka. So what he says, it's the intermediary loka. If there's seven lokas up and seven lokas down, this is bhu-loka, is the middle loka. And of all of the lokas, it's the bhu-loka, where we are, where there's free will, where there's the kartritvam along with bhoktritvam. Doership along with enjoyership. So we can accrue karma in this loka. We can accrue punya and papa in this loka. Also in the satya loka, there's kartritvam, the highest loka, the brahma loka. In these two lokas, they say, you can gain knowledge. In all of the other lokas, they're primarily bhoktritvam, means there's enjoyership, but there's not a karta, there's not a doer. And those planes of experience are for the exhaustion of punya and papa, not for the gain of punya and papa. So it's in this bhu-loka and in the satya-loka or the brahma-loka where you can actually gain self-knowledge, which is significant in terms of what we're going to be looking at in terms of this this understanding. So what he says here is that all of the lokas, all of the planes of experience up to the Brahmaloka, Brahma-bhuvana. Brahma-bhuvana is where Brahmaji lives. That's the Brahmaloka. That's the highest loka. So it's actually up to, where we use this ah prefix, ah with the fifth case, it means up to or up to and including. There's going to be up to and including because the highest loka also is part of samsara. It's part of the creation. It's part of duality. And it also becomes manifest and unmanifest. And so even though those who are living, those beings that are abiding in the Brahmaloka, the highest loka, will not experience death as long as the loka is manifest. When the loka goes into unmanifest condition or one with the rest of the creation, though, all of the jivas, including that loka, become unmanifest. It's called avyakta. And so here, what they're saying is, all of the lokas, up to and including Brahma Loka, the highest loka, Punar Avartinaha, the beings, there's return, they return, beings return, again and again and again. Means that there's the transmigration of the jiva continues. There's birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. There's no end to the transmigration. Even in the Brahma Loka, when there's the resolution of the creation, when the creation comes back, manifests again, you, along with your karmas, are manifest again. Just like when you wake up from the deep sleep. In the deep sleep, there's no experience, you're not having any experience. It's everything's in what we call avyakta, or in the unmanifest condition. When you wake up from that, the whole of you wakes up, and you're still stuck with all of your karmas and all of your all the experiences of the prior day. And so like that, even when we view the creation, as we'll see farther, I don't want to get too much ahead of myself here, but this creation which is cyclical, when the creation goes into avyakta, into unmanifest condition, you go into unmanifest condition, but that's all. You also come out with all of the karmas, all of the sentient karmas that you had gone into that unmanifest condition with. So that there's no liberation for the jiva when you go into the avyakta or unmanifest state. When we're talking about the cyclical nature of the creation. So here he's saying, for all of these lokas, there is coming and going. It's important because in the West, we think of, if you go to heaven, you're going to an eternal heaven. Mm. Right? That's it. You're going to, that's it. Whereas in India, there's no such thing. Every karma has a limit. Every karma itself is limited and will give you a limited result. So no matter what loka you go to, you will return here. If you go into the lower lokas, to the hell lokas, those also aren't eternal. So there's continual coming and going in terms of all of these lokas that you're visiting. So he says, for all of the lokas, there is coming and going, there's returning again. You return from them again, from all of these lokas, including the Brahma loka. But then he says, mam upetya tu, but having gained me, having reached me, and we'll look at this reached for in a minute, but literally, mam upetya, having reached me, indefinable past participle, to whereas, he kaunteya, son of Kuti, is the name for Arjuna, he kaunteya, punara janma na vidyate, there is no birth again, there is no rebirth, having reached me. Having reached me, we use reach in the sense of jnanam, because there is no reaching in any real sense of the word. You can't, when Krishna says, having reached me, he's talking of himself as Ishwara, the Paramatma. Because Krishna is Ishwara, the Paramatma, the self of Krishna is Brahman, is the Paramatma. So you, see, try to understand, you having reached me, you having attained me, is the Mahavakya. See, if you attain me, if you gain me, then you've gained the tetramasi. The self that you are, I am. The self that I am, you are. So having reached me in that way through jnana, having gained me, that for you then again there is no rebirth. And all the other, if you go to any of the other lokas, you come back. But if you gain me, if you reach me, say if you reach Brahma Loka, you come back. If you reach the Gandharva Loka, you come back. You know, if you reach the Naraka Loka, the Hell Loka, you come back. But if you reach me, there's no rebirth. There's no coming back. The reaching me is in terms of what? The reaching me is in terms of jnanam, because the reaching me is the recognizing that the self that I am is the self that you are. So that's the mom who pays you. So reaching me, there's no coming back. So after that, now he has to talk a little bit about these, about the different worlds in the time sequence. Sahasra Yuga Parayantam, Sahasra Yuga Parayantam, Aharayad Brahmano Viduhu, Aharayad Brahmano Viduhu, Ratrin Yuga Sahasrantam, Ratrin Yuga Sahasrantam, Te
te ho ratra vidho janaha, te ho ratra vidho janaha. Sahasra yuga pariyantam, ahar means ahaha, yet brahmanaha vidhu. Ratrin yuga sahasra antam, te aho ratra vidha janaha. The last quarter of the shloka, it says, te janaha, those people who are ahaha ratra vidha, aho ratra vidha, who know, who understand the day and night, who understand the day and night, we're going to talk the day and night of Brahmaji, the day and night of Brahmaji, those who understand, who know about this, those who are knowers of the day and night, what about them? It says, sahasra yuga pariyantam, ahaha yad brahmanaha vidhu. They know vidhu, those people who know about the day and the night, they know that the ahaha, that which is the aha, the day, brahmanaha of Brahmaji, is sahasra yuga pariyantam, is up to 1,000 sahasra, up to 1,000 yugas long. That's how long the day of Brahmaji is, 1,000 yugas, okay? And ratram, where the night, the ratri is the night, the night also is yuga sahasra antam. Ratram is feminine, that's where you get that om ending. And the night also is 1,000 yugas long. And the yugas they're talking about are, there's four yugas, right? When they say that those yugas, they're talking about the Mahayuga, which includes all four. 1,000 of those, okay, 1,000 of those is something like 4,300,000,000,000 years. That's how long one day is in Earth time, in year time, around 4 billion. So one day of Brahmaji is something somewhere around 400,000,000,000,000 years. And one night is that long also. Okay, if you read Swamiji's little Bhasha on it, he goes into it in some degree. I'll let you read it when you break down the Kali Yuga and the Treta and the Dwapara and all the four yugas, the Krita Yuga, the four yugas. Each, the Krita Yuga is the longest, and then the Treta, I think, is a little shorter, and then the Dwapara a little shorter, and then the Kali Yuga is even shorter. But each yuga going backwards from the Kali Yuga is 10 times longer. Something 4 times or 10, I can't remember.
10 times.
10 times?
Oh, there's a formula.
It is
10 times the Kali Yuga,
yeah.
Mahayuga.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can read this. It turns out that I actually listened to Swamiji talking about this. And he was trying to figure, doing all this addition up in his mind, trying to figure this out. I mean, you know, billions of years this whole thing adds up into, and so he was trying to calculate all of this. The students were all saying, they're all Indians, you know, this is going on in the chronometry. They're like, no, Swamiji. you have to multiply like this, and then add like this, and it comes up. That's not 4 million years, it's 4 billion years. And then Swamiji's going, blah, 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 blah. So, that's right. It's 4,300,000,000,000 years, or whatever. Anyway, it's a long, long time. So the Mahayuga, that includes all four yugas, 1,000 of those yugas, 1,000 of those Mahayugas is one day. So you can, it's kind of interesting when they look at the cyclical nature of the creation. It means, it's like Ishwara, it's as though Bhagawan, Ishwara, wakes up. Brahmaji is the creator, right? If you look at Ishwara as Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, where Brahma is the aspect of Ishwara in terms of the manifestation of the creation. The sustaining quality of the creation is Ishwara, we call Vishnu. And then Shiva is the resolution, the destruction, the withdrawal of the creation. And so, if you think of just the conscious being,
There is no day and night, right, for consciousness, for Brahman. There's no day or night. There's just consciousness. There's no waking. There's no sleeping. Even in terms of the individual, if you look at the cycle that you go through from waking to dream to deep sleep to waking, dream, deep sleep, there is these different states of experience are true for you as a jiva, for the antikarna. These states of experience, this manifestation and resolution, manifestation, resolution, manifestation, substance, resolution. But for the Atma, consciousness isn't waking up or going to sleep. Consciousness is always the same, right? And so the waking up from the standpoint of Ishvara is simply the manifestation from the unmanifest condition. Just like waking up for you from the standpoint of your mind is going from the unmanifest, what we call avyakta, to manifest. Very simple, right? Atma is not waking up. But the mind wakes up, it becomes manifest. And then it goes into unmanifest. So they say the same for Brahmaji, for Ishvara. They call it the waking up. So the manifestation of the creation, Brahmaji wakes up. How long does he stay awake? How many? 4 billion years or something?
Yeah.
4,300,000 and something to
70 million.
20 million years. Okay. So he wakes up. That means the creation remains manifest in that time. And during that manifestation, there's different, what we call layas, different types of pralaya, but there's no total resolution. The total resolution is when Brahmaji, when Ishvara goes into, that's the pralaya, into where the whole creation goes into unmanifest. So that's how it's looked in terms of time. It's a very, very long time. And so now they're talking about this. Those who understand the day and night of Brahmaji, they say that when Brahmaji is, the day of Brahmaji is this 1,000 Mahayugas. The night of Brahmaji is again 1,000 Mahayugas. So they're discussing here the cyclical nature of the creation, which it runs throughout the Vedic cosmology. Isn't that understanding of the cyclical nature of the creation? It doesn't matter which of the darshanas you're studying. It's the Vedic view of the nature of creation. So then let's go to the next verse. Avyakta vyaktiya sarvaha pravavanchaharagame ratra agame praliyante tatvavyakta sanyake avyaktat vyaktayaha sarvaha prabhavanti ahaha agame. So aharagame, that resa there is the visarga. Ahaha. So aharagame. Then ratri agame. That yakara is an e plus the a. Ratri agame. Praliyante. Tatra eva avyakta sanyake. Here it says, so we're continuing to look at what is happening to the jivas. This is, in the end, that's what this is about. He says, at the end of the first line, Aha Agame, at the beginning Agama, at the coming of the day of Brahmaji, at the beginning of the day, Ahara Agame, when the day begins, it's what Agame is located. When the day begins, then what? Avyaktat, from the unmanifest condition, it's like the Karana Shurira, from the cause, unmanifest condition means the causal condition when everything is unmanifest. So from the unmanifest, Vyaktiyaha Sarvaha, everything becomes manifest. All the vyaktis, all the things that are manifest, like here in this room, everything in this room has become manifest. So we can say here, because we're talking about living beings, and we'll see later we're talking about living beings, from their unmanifest condition, all beings become manifest. Jyoti means manifest beings. So, but it's also all things. The whole creation is coming manifest, but the point here is that you are becoming manifest as a jiva. You as a jiva, as a transmigrating jiva, during the night of Brahmaji are in unmanifest condition, and when the day comes, you become manifest. All beings become manifest again. So he says, from the unmanifest of Vyakta, Vyaktiyaha, Namrita Purul, Sarvaha, Namrita Purul, all become men, all Vyaktis, Prabhavanti, are born from the Avyakta, right? All beings become manifest, are born, they come into being from the Avyakta. Not come into being, they're born again from the Avyakta. There's not anybody new created. Then it says, Ratri Agame, when the night comes, 4 billion years later, when the night comes, Praliyante, they are resolved there itself, there alone, in what is called the Avyakta. So, all they're saying is what we said, what how Swamiji says, or how we say, is that this creation is cyclical. It comes into manifestation and it goes into dissolution. It comes from the Avyakta, the unmanifest condition, into the manifest condition, and back into the unmanifest condition it goes cyclically from beginningless time.
There's no Maya there?
That's the Maya is unmanifest. The Maya manifests, becomes unmanifest. That's the causal condition of Maya. Right? And so the point is that you as a jiva, until you gain knowledge, you and your karmas are there from beginningless time. It's not like there's you're not created. Or when the universe goes into dissolution, you don't dissolve. You're not destroyed. The universe isn't destroyed either. It goes, not when we say into dissolution, what we mean is that not that it's destroyed, is that it goes into unmanifest condition. And cyclically, it goes from manifest to unmanifest, manifest to unmanifest. And so, you might think, but Swamiji brings this up, and Shankara discusses this in his Bhasha, because you might think, I don't need knowledge. You can say I grow up within this kind of Vedic cosmology. That's the view of reality that I grow up in, and then I can say, it doesn't make any difference, eventually when the creation goes into unmanifest condition, we'll all be released from samsara at that time. We'll all be destroyed, there's no problem, that'll put an end to everything. So here Krishna is saying, no. You'll go into unmanifest condition. You will not be destroyed. You'll come back with your same sanchitta karmas, and take up where you left off. There's no easy out. Also, there's another thing that's being said here that Shankara and Swamiji discuss. Also, if you were to, say, be destroyed, annihilated, then the new creation comes giving birth to or producing jivas that have no karma. They're not produced with, they have no karma. And so then there's also no logic to why this person is suffering and this person isn't, or why is this person good at this and this person is good at that? Why this infinite display of inequality, infinite display of diversity in every single arena, diversity in the pleasure pain arena, diversity in terms of different talents and different capacities, it's not easy, there's no equality at all, and so why would that be, so there's no karma, to account for that. And so also the shastra becomes useless in terms of vidhi nisheda. The shastra itself, the karma kanda, says, do this, do that, do this, behave in this way, behave in that way, so that follow dharma, so that you'll accrue punya, and so that you'll have a relatively relative shanti, in this life, so that you won't suffer. Avoid a dharma so you won't suffer, so that you won't get a bad birth, next birth. This is very, very important from a Hindu buddhi. It's not just this life. In fact, for us, for any of you who just kind of intuitively or on any level accept transmigration, we're not just looking at this life. So what about the next life? What about the in-between times? You know, it's all tied to dharma. Otherwise, you have to say, if you don't believe in any of that, then this is this life. Then when you die, it's all over anyway. That's your moksha. Whatever annihilation is there, that's what you think. You know, but even if you're a Christian or in the Judeo-Christian tradition, it's not just this life. You know, there's punya and papa. You reap the results of your action continues on after this life. For example, the Judeo-Christian tradition, for the soul, it goes to heaven or hell or purgatory and all of this. It's not just this life. And for, you know, 66% of the world accept, you know, the transmigration of the soul. And so, especially for them, and in India, you know, they are trying to protect their future, the well-being of their future. It's very important. When we say the purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, you know, there's the artha and kama, having some security here, you know, enough money, good health, a strong family system, good enough friends, that type of thing. Security is artha. Kama is having fun, having enjoyment, having enough extra for pleasure, you know, for fun, for happiness, pleasure. But dharma is really for the future, you know, to protect my future, you know, in terms of punya and papa, to protect my next birth, to get a better next birth, to go to heaven worlds instead of hell worlds. You know, so that dharma is very important in the whole Hindu psyche. And moksha is the last one. Moksha is for the person that realizes, you know, whether it's artha, kama or dharma, all of them are finite. You know, I can't win, I can't be perfect. You know, no matter how hard I try, there's a dharma is going to slip in there. And even if it doesn't slip in, there's still everything, every one of my experiences come to an end. What is there a release from this? That's the mumukshu crosses over into moksha. The mumukta, the samsaris, the dharmis. You know, the dharmanishtas are concerned about the artha, kama and dharma. You know? The dharmanishtas. The mumukshus are concerned about dharma and moksha. You know? I guess the Charvakas are just only concerned. Charvakas are kind of materialists, you know, in the darshana system. They're concerned, you know, about artha and kama. You know, let me have some security and lots of pleasure, you know, and let me live a life that will give me the maximum of that. And even for them, some dharma will come in because they find that a dharma produces pain here itself. So even there for them, dharma comes in also. But we're really talking about dharma is protecting, you know, our next birth. So anyway, none of that makes sense if the jiva is just created afresh. So all this inequality is here, but nothing accounts for it. Whereas from the Vedantic standpoint or the Vedic standpoint, the situation that you have is a direct result of your own karma. You know? It's not that somebody has done it to you. It's that you're this prarabdha that you're living out now is due to your past karmas. You know? So at least you can do something about it. It's a lot better than having some kind of a a god randomly, you know, striking you down.
What's the catch?
I put some vegetables in her food and she doesn't like it. That's what it is. You put vegetables in it, what have you done? Give me the right stuff.
Okay, Timmy.
Just stay with us. Stay in here with us. We like to have you. Okay, let's go to verse 19. Bhutakram, Bhutagramaha Saha Eva Ayam. The Bhutagrama is the whole, Grama means like a collection or a group. The whole group of beings, the Bhutagramas, all living beings, movable, immovable, living beings even the grass, all living beings, or all of them, that make up the whole manifest creation, all living beings in the creation, Saha, those living beings, all those living beings, which are these living beings, the group of, those group of beings which are these beings, because he says, which are these very beings, bhutva, bhutva, having come again and again. Those beings which are these beings, having been born again and again, bhutva, bhutva, having come into being again and again. So he says, saha that, ayam, that are these indeed. Those beings are these beings, which have come again and again. Those beings that are being born again and again and again, those are the beings that are praliyate. Those are the very group of beings that resolve, go into dissolution. The very beings that are being born again and again, is those beings that go into unmanifest condition. And when Ratri Agame, when the night comes, when Brahmaji's night comes, when the dissolution comes, those very beings that are being born again and again, those beings themselves go into that unmanifest condition. Avashaha, necessarily, they have no choice, but avashaha means it's not like some of them can say, you all go into dissolution and I think I'll just remain. No, they have no choice, there's no will involved in this. The whole creation goes into dissolution like that, and all the beings are forced into that condition. So necessarily they're forced when the night of Brahmaji comes, necessarily all those who are being born go into this state of dissolution. And then avashaha again, hey Partha, Partha is the name for Arjuna, again prabhavati aharagame, again necessarily without any choice, again during the day when the day comes of Brahmaji, all of them are born. All of them come back into being. Here, one thing that Swamiji talks about, because this question of evolution always comes in. We look at how he's explaining this, how I see it also, actually, is that the manifestation, the coming into being, the sustaining and the going, are the whole thing is a process. So as it comes into being, if you want to look at evolution, as the creation comes into being, that process of coming into being, of the earth being born, of life coming into being, that's all part of a process. The jivas take birth according to their own karmas into that process, whenever their karmas match whatever point the process.
whatever point the process is in its unfoldment, the jivas are subtle, remember that. The jivas are subtle. When they take a physical birth, they're going to take a birth in a time and place that they have karmas that will match.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. The karmas have to match. So just because the universe comes into manifestation doesn't mean that all of the infinite number of jivas come into manifestation all at the same time. The jivas also can be in kind of a deep sleep state, or they can be in different lokas. It just, the jiva comes into manifestation when the karmas are such that the time and place and the karmas of the jiva all match up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like here, like we say now here for the transmigration of the jiva. When you die, say not as a samsari, not as a jivan mukta, when you die, then you don't necessarily take a birth here right away. It may not, may be centuries before you take a birth again, or it could be immediately. You could be spending time in different lokas. You could be in like a deep sleep state. It's just, it's a matter of karma, you know, when the time is right for that manifestation. So they don't just assume that you're immediately reborn, but you can be, you know. And it's the same when the universe comes into manifestation. It's not like the whole infinite number of jivas are manifest at the same time. It need not be so. And also, if during one period of the coming into manifestation of the creation, there are more animals than people, I mean, Tibi's a jiva just like I'm a jiva. We're all jivas. It's just what karmas, she has her cat karmas. She has Tibi karmas right now. The plant has plant karmas, you know, that are being exhausted. Would they say for plants and for animals that there's an exhaustion of karma taking place, but there's no kartritvam, there's no accrual of karma? You know? So how many times, what animals have we been? You know? How many plants have we been? It's just a matter of, yeah, whatever karmas are there to manifest that are appropriate to the trajectory of you as an individual. So that's how they look at that. Let's do one more. Parastasmat tu bhavo anyo vyaktat sanatanaha. Now we get down to what this is really all about. He says, from the avyakta. See, now we've been talking about going from the vyakta to the avyakta, right? From the manifest to the unmanifest. Now what he's saying, beyond that unmanifest, there's another unmanifest, right? There's another unmanifest, which is paraha, which is supreme. It's an unmanifest, but never becomes unmanifest. So from that unmanifest condition, you know, there's another unmanifest, because the Atma is not manifest, right? It doesn't become manifest. It's not something, by manifest means objectified. The self is not something, the Atma is not something that can become objectified. And so he says, there is another supreme being, you know, Supreme Being, which is avyakta, which is interior, you know, to that avyakta, that of Manifest that we're talking about. And that avyakta is sanatana. It's timeless. It's free from time. It's eternal. It doesn't come into, it doesn't change its condition. It doesn't go from manifest to unmanifest. It's the supreme. It's the paramatma that itself is unmanifest. And he says, sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu. When all of these beings, this Buddha Brahma, this whole collection of beings, are being destroyed, you know, going from birth to death, birth, death, birth, death, while all of these are being destroyed, that na vinashyati, that isn't touched in any way. Okay? So, for all the jivas, there's continual transmigration, so you're losing body, you're going through birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, birth and death, losing your body, right? So, for the whole creation in general, everything is subject to birth and death, birth and death, and going from the manifest to the unmanifest. There's one during all of this change, there's one that is free from that change. And that one, and we'll see in the next verses that we'll do next week, that one that is free from change, that one is really the meaning of the word Om. Om, which is Brahman, which is Aksharam. The Om, which is Aksharam, which is immutable. And so that one is free from all of this world, all of these lokas, right? All of this going from manifest to unmanifest, from all of this manifestation of the creation to the unmanifest creation, the traveling from loka to loka to loka, all of this traveling and all this manifestation, unmanifestation, there's one in whom all of that takes place who is free from all of that. And that, as we'll see, that is Brahman, that is Om, and that is the Aksharam, which you are. Let's stop there, and then we'll maybe be able to finish this next week. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.